I hate to get back to the bad stuff. Do you guys think this was an inside job? Are there betrayal? Is there a betrayal going
I'm
on?
worried that Gambit will be implicated again because he does disappear right before it, and then like he shows back up with Magneto and Rogue after the whole like disorienting part. And it is in the comics. He has a role in letting people in to destroy things. So I'm worried, but
I
also they
don't
gave
think
him such a
so.
wonderful send-off. I hope to
Yeah.
God they don't do it. And they've been very good about not ruining other characters. So if they choose to ruin Gambit specifically, I'll be very mad at the show. But I don't think they'll do it. Outside of that, there's no other character I think would make a ton of sense to be rigging it.
I think maybe Mystique, like maybe she like got involved in something and then it turned into something else and she was like, I was not about this.
We are live with another episode of the X-Men 97 After Show. It's the show brought to you by The Keeg, where we talk about the new sequel series to the original 90s X-Men cartoon. This is X-Men 97. I'm your host, Demetra Pereira. And if you're watching us live, you're watching us on twitch.tv/TheKeegShow or youtube.com/TheKeegShow, or you're listening to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see all our X-Men stuff. You can't see who the guests are unless, you're following us on Instagram or TikTok at The Keeg Show. But let me introduce my guests for today. First up, we got Nikhil Clayton, the real Nikhil Clayton, not a
Yes,
clone,
not a clone.
as far as we know.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nikhil Clayton, and I'm the only Nikhil Clayton, and I have to call myself the real Nikhil Clayton because 8-year-old me owns the correct username.
That you
So,
can't access.
that I cannot access. So,
That's so funny. I think you mentioned that last time you were on the show, and I don't know. If only there was like time travel, you can go back and be like, tell me the password, and 8-year-old you would have been like, I don't know, give me a cookie. Is that what you would
exactly.
have wanted?
I'd take a cookie right now.
If only it worked that way. I wish I had a cookie for you, but I'm glad to have you on the show because you are not only an X-Men fan, but a rabid Gambit enthusiast.
Yes, I am publicly known on the internet to be very associated with Gambit, which meant I woke up Wednesday morning with lots of texts and comments asking how I was doing, which was not a great way to start the day. I
Before
cannot
you
stand
watch
it.
the episode?
Literally, when I woke up,
I know,
I. No,
but did you watch the episode at midnight
no, 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 no.
or?
I went to bed at a normal time and I woke up and I was gonna watch it at night when my partner got home from work. And then I got too many people asking me if I was okay, so I watched it while they were gone.
Oh no, that one can, I don't know, maybe you're kind of asking for it, you just assuming that your favorite character will always be alive, and you're just like waiting till Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You're really testing it.
I mean, I absolutely would never have predicted they would do this in a million years.
I didn't think so too.
I was very shocked. Part of me was like, no way. It's what I think it is. That's crazy. But then it was.
I'm glad I have you, especially on this episode, being our resident Gambit enthusiast. So
I'm glad to be here. I am happy to talk about this in ways that are longer than text, because I've
yeah.
just been commenting on everything.
If you do cry throughout this episode, just get closer to your webcam so we can catch those
Right.
tears on camera. It's I'm gonna be Mojo and try to I'm trying to up the ratings,
Course.
Our second guest, we got the real Michelle Waffle.
Oh, I didn't know I had a clone.
I mean, do you not? Who knows? Jean didn't know. It's
Jean
true.
didn't know. That's right, and that's my girl. I mean, Jean, Dazzler, Emma, like all the X ladies, I love them so much. There might be another Michelle Waffle out there, I think,
A
in
simple
Michigan.
like Google search or Facebook search could find your clone.
There's also like a Michelle Obama article on waffles if you search my name. Very random, but yeah.
Yeah, that's the crossover we all needed. Who would have thought? It's funny because you, when I think of Emma and like Emma Frost cosplay, you come to mind, like first and
Oh, thank
foremost.
you.
But your personality is not Emma. Just want to let that know, let you know.
You don't think so?
Well,
I don't
not in the
know.
bad way. Like the negative qualities that Emma has.
I don't think she has any negative qualities,
Okay,
to be
then never
honest.
mind. You're
I think
completely
she's
Emma
a
Frost.
baddie. I think
Okay.
she's a baddie, like in a
Okay.
good way.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, she gets some one-liners out in this episode.
She is like almost MVP of this episode, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah. let's talk about this show. Shout out to Yakul1, first time chatter out there. For anyone who's out in our chat, let us know you're out there and feel free to ask questions. We also got questions from the Instagram story, or questions, comments, concerns. This episode probably had a lot of concerns.
Concerned.
What are there concerns about this episode? Yes, this out of all the episodes. Before we get started, just generally speaking, like when you know, were you guys looking forward to this show coming out? Just this X-Men 97 cartoon?
I was interested in getting more X-Men content in the main, like back on the silver screen,
Yeah.
but it being a revival of the 90s show was not huge to me. I like the 90s show, but I watched it fairly recently and I don't have like a huge level of nostalgia for it, but I'm very surprised and happy with what we've gotten. So,
Yeah. Any
what?
X-Men is good. Like any X-Men's good X-Men? I don't know.
Any X-Men is good X-Men.
Fox, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, continuing.
I mean, I don't think any X-Men is good X-Men. I'm just, yeah, like Fox, I don't know what you did. WTF.
Yeah.
I mean, they did help bring usher in the era of like comic book movies, I feel.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So they gave us that. And like I try to keep things on a positive if I can. So thank you, Fox, for bringing that in.
I love the movies, by the way, when I was younger and when they were better, and then they crashed, and then they came back up, and then
A
they crashed again.
large part of my love for the X-Men is tied to those films because they were
Yeah.
coming out when I was very young. But as I get older, the more I look back on them, the least happy I am, or the less happy I am each time. And I
Yeah.
just have to be like, well, I took a lot of this for granted.
Yeah. It's also the curse of hindsight in a way, because we now have different things and audiences want different things. Back in the day, people just didn't like superhero movies. They didn't want superhero movies to be superhero movies. They, you know,
That's crazy.
like make them realistic, make them less soap opery, give them black leather for everybody. Daredevil red leather, but like red leather, yellow leather,
I
whatever.
mean, I think the first like Marvel superhero movie we got was Blade. And
Yeah.
like that wasn't soap opery. I thought it was really good,
Yeah.
you know? And
I'm
being
saying
an
X-Men
X-Men
needs soap
fan
opera.
for
Yeah.
well,
That's what I'm saying.
yeah, they do. That's what
Yeah.
the whole show is kind of like. It's kind of like a soap
Yes.
opera.
That's why I love this show, is it's capturing the romance soap opera side of the X-Men that it was ignored for, I th think, too long.
The original
Yeah.
show, like they gave us so many great storylines. Like that's what I grew up with. So that was my introduction to X-Men, was a few comic books and then this animated series. I think I was like in the fourth grade when it came out. And I used to watch it like every morning with my brothers. So when I heard it was getting revived, I was so excited. Like, 'cause it's not a remake, it's a continuation of where we left off on season, I think, six, when Professor X, you know, went to space 'cause he was dying. And I love how it just picked right back up and how we got a great little intro into each character in the first episode. Like everyone got their moment, they got their time to shine. For people who haven't seen the original series, this was a nice like intro to each character.
Yeah.
And I thought they did that very well. Like the hype was real for sure.
I'm very surprised how many people are just starting their X-Men journey through this show. I think it's wild. Our first guest on our first episode, Sarah B, Movies and Tea, She remembers seeing an X-Men movie at some point, but she doesn't remember which X-Men movie, just that she didn't like it. And then she started with this X-Men 97 episode one. And then she's been watching. Like, that is crazy to me, but that's also because X-Men was lost for like 15 years in the cultural like zeitgeist, when X-Men used to be such a defining part of like comic books and like pop culture and whatnot back in the day. Shout out to Miss Marauder, who I just gave Miss Marauder some X-Men comics to get her X-Men journey started.
Nice.
But she also says, as a person just getting to X-Men, I wasn't expecting to cry so early into my journey.
Oh, I know. It's been rough. Like the episodes, they hit you with the feels. You're like, yeah, this is a feel good one. And then you get something like life death or like when Storm lost her powers. Like I saw the first three episodes in the theater at the fan event, and there's like an audible like gasp. First there was silence, and then there was like a gasp, and you could hear people like bawling when that happened. It's no joke. These episodes are very, very good.
I'm so happy as an X-Men fan. I wasn't looking forward to this show. I wasn't sure how Marvel Animation would do it in 2024. Like, it's just a different world now, you know? I also wanted a sequel series to Wolverine and the X-Men. I think if there was any cartoon that needed a sequel, it would have been that one, because it only lasted one season.
Agreed.
And it was more modernized. Like, it took a lot from like Whedon, not a fan of Whedon, but like Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run and Emma Frost being on the team. And I thought it was like modernizing everything. That had Genosha also. But they brought Genosha into this, and look at us now.
Look at us now. You know, up until this one, I considered Wolverine the X-Men the best adaptation. And now I, especially after this episode, I think this is hands down the best the X-Men have ever been translated. But yeah.
Well, because it had everything. I feel like Stefan from SNL. This is Club X-Men. We have everything. Vampire dinosaurs, as Jubilee calls it. We get soap opera. We get massive genocide, which is not like a thing that we're cheering for, but it's something so in like integral to X-Men mythos.
Yeah, we're
Sadly.
getting a lot of like more modern storylines actually, which is kind of what Wolverine and the X-Men was doing. They were taking some of the more modern storylines, and that was resonating with the viewers because those were things that they were pulling from in the comics. So X-Men 97 is kind of catching up to that, but we are definitely getting into the 2000s era, especially with the Genosha plot. The alluding to possibly Cassandra Nova having something to do with it. There's scenes that are taken directly from the comic that are emulated in this. And there's one particular storyline from the Morrison run, the 2000s, about how Scott had like a psychic affair, but it wasn't with Jean's clone, it was with Emma Frost. And I like the way they did it in 97, it just feels more natural. Well, not like natural to betray your marital trust, but it felt a little bit, I can't like phrase this like that it's nice and good, but it was not making Emma Frost like this villain, basically. I mean, she is villainous, but she's not breaking up a marriage. Okay, there's just a marriage here with some complications and complicated feelings.
Like, a homewrecker for
So,
the fun of it was kind
yeah,
of like,
she doesn't like do that either. It's very complicated. And I like the Emma that we're getting in 97, and I like where things are heading. Like, it's good. It's good.
We're getting a lot with this show and with this episode in particular. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of like all the things that hit the fan in this episode, how would you rank, let's just say, the five episodes that we've had so far on your like personal enjoyment?
Personally, I would go, this episode is my favorite one by far. And then Probably episode 3, 2, 1, and then 4. I
Ooh.
also watched the first three at the premiere, and I left being like every single one of those just got better after each other. So
Interesting.
I will not lie, 4 was a little bit of a disappointment. I kept thinking we were going to keep having the ramp up, and I don't think I liked 4 as much as at the first three, but then 5 was the best one. So the streak in general is alive.
Yeah. I don't know whether I agree with that ranking per se. Like, 4 is my least, 5's my best, yes. But I think I liked 2, 1, 3.
I'm just a
It was
sucker for
five,
Inferno
two,
at
one,
this point.
three. Like, I like the Madeline Pryor episode, but I think that there are certain things that are like, I didn't need a second episode for it, but like, I don't know. There were certain things that I was like, oh, okay. But it's a tight race. It's a very tight race. It's,
Is.
you know.
Well, Fire Made Flesh was my favorite
Oh yeah.
because I'm a Jean girl, so I love anything Jean adjacent. I think with that particular episode, they took they had a lot of content to pull from that, and to put it all into one episode was it was done really well. I think they did Madeline Pryor really well. Like in the comics, there's some things that happen, and it's like it's a lot of like abandonment and like figuring like finding out you're a clone and having a lot of like self-doubt and like all these things that she goes through in the comics. They changed the story in a way that I felt made a little bit more sense, and they gave us the X-Men parts because Inferno is a huge storyline. It's a crossover event, so to focus just on this and our little cameo things that we got, like when Morph turned into Illyana, and then
Yes.
when he was under influence of Goblin Queen, all of a sudden he was Dark Child. It's like, oh, that's a deep Inferno reference, you know? So
Yeah.
I thought getting those little tidbits were cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
So
absolutely.
absolutely.
That was my favorite episode.
You
I
can just
don't
say
have a
least
least
favorite. You don't have
I
one?
don't have the least favorite. They're
Okay.
all so good. I mean,
Like you
I
can't
can't
pick your
bash
favorite
me.
child. Can't pick your least favorite child,
Yeah.
at least.
Everyone
Yeah.
has a different, it's a different tone and a different theme. Like, so it's hard to choose just one.
Yeah.
Oh
I just say I was also a Fire Made Flesh defender because I
yeah.
saw they got very, not like bad reviews, but people were not liking it as much when it came out. And until this episode, it was my favorite. And I think the fact that they're able to do with the Inferno storyline and have Scott not be completely irredeemable is also
That.
so impressive.
Yeah. Yes.
Like to walk that line is so hard, and he comes off more sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel bad for him. Like he has a real crisis happening, and I like that they're not just going back to him being with Jean. Like they got to figure their stuff out, and that's why the quote unquote affair that's happening with him and Madeline, it's not really an affair. It's them trying to figure their stuff out, and Jean is also trying to figure out her stuff. So it's
Right.
just really complicated. There's a lot of feelings involved.
I think
It's also
generally speaking, you can't fault people for wanting to like work things through and think things out and like try to process. Like you can't blame people for processing. That's just life,
yeah.
you know?
It's also so impressive to me how they balance the like Claremontian stories with the 90s stories that they're also simultaneously doing. Like you have the Rogue and Magneto from the 80s, but it's also kind of the love triangle of the 90s with Joseph. And now
Yeah.
you have the Jean and Madeline, who are kind of like the two Betsies that were just around in the 90s. And then you even have Scott and Betsy's flirtation with kind of Madeline. So like it's all of this these repeated sort of concepts being merged together. And it's so fascinating to me how they're able to walk all of the decades of X-Men at the same time.
Yeah. I think it's a shout out, and this is something that like we just talk about on the podcast a lot for, you know, not only talking about X-Men stuff, but like Percy Jackson and Avatar: The Last Airbender. It's like, what do we want from adaptations, right? And like Avatar: The Last Airbender is sure, it's just like one thing, and X-Men has been around for decades upon decades, and they're drawing from that, and they're picking and choosing for this show what works, what doesn't, and like streamlining everything, and hopefully making the right choice. Obviously, there's plot lines that are made better because of it. And shout out to like Vic Weave out in the comments saying that like Scott is certainly less awful in 97. Props to Logan
Yes.
for not taking advantage of Jean kissing him. This is all like hindsight that we look at these things and we're like, why is Logan so creepy? Like, you know, in the past,
Oh.
like I like as a kid, I was like, yeah, you take the girl that you have a crush on, and like, yeah, like, but like you're a kid and you're just like, who are you rooting for in this triangle? But now I'm like, come on, man, like,
It's
leave her
also so
alone.
brave of 97. And it's like, we're all here, general X-Men fans. So, but like, it didn't occur to me at first until I was talking to friends of mine who weren't that it was weird, but they don't put Wolverine in the lead. He's like kind of always the supporting character or just not in the episode. And I didn't even notice, but I was like, actually, it is amazing that he's not.
It's so good.
It's
I
an
mean,
ensemble. It's
yeah.
an ensemble. Like everyone is getting their time and their storylines. So that's how it should be. Like that's how it is in the comics. It's not the Wolverine show. You
Right.
know what I mean?
Like
It's
the
not
Fox
Wolverine
movies. It's the X-Men.
I mean,
Yeah.
the Fox movies were a lot of just Wolverine's main storyline and the X-Men follow. And then he gets his solo movies and he gets his own solo stuff. And then he comes back to X-Men and he's the main character in that. And it's just like, okay, I mean, we get it.
Yeah,
But like,
they made First Class without him, and then they were like, you know what we need for this? We need Wolverine in the sequel. And then they made
it's
X
like that was the lesson they learned for some reason,
Class.
I guess, you know.
Oh,
But yeah, like they're really streamlining the plot lines, like Inferno, like all this, and they're picking and choosing. Getting down to this episode, it seemed like this episode, before the shit hit the fan, before we saw the Watcher in the sky. Did you guys see the Watcher in the
I
sky?
did not, fully
Not
honestly.
the
I saw
first
it online
time.
after.
Not
I thought it was just a blur,
the
and I was like, I'll parse through that later. I'll figure that out. I was like, that looks like somebody.
No,
We'll get back to it.
I posted my video and I got a ton of comments. They were like, you're not gonna mention the Watcher? And I was like, the Watcher? Was he in it?
You're
And
looking
then
in
I
the
looked
background
online
of
and I saw.
Genosha like bald mutants. You're like, is the Watcher just here? Oh no, he was up in the sky. Ooh. We shit hits the fan. We see the Watcher. Everything goes to hell. But before that, like things looked good. But that whole second half is very like E is for Extinction, Grant
Yeah.
Morrison's. But I think it borrows a lot from the most recent Hellfire Gala.
It's
Like
well, it's kind of what I was just saying about like how they marry all of the things, because it's also very Mutant Massacre. Like it's just a really interesting blend of the sort of canon event of X-Men have tragedy.
Yeah.
And I do think possibly literally that idea of Cable coming back and not in like talking as if he's tried to stop it before does make me think they might be approaching an actual canon event sort of terminology. Probably not the same as Spider-Verse, but like the idea that no matter what, the X-Men have these instances in their existence that they can't get around.
Right.
Well, the next episode is titled Bright Eyes, and that is a nickname for Cable. So I think it was pointed out to me in some YouTube videos that I watched that the first time we see Cable in the original series, he's on Genosha. So is there something that he's always trying to get to Genosha to maybe stop this event somehow? Like maybe he just time jumped a little too far back and ended up there and was like, okay, I gotta fix this. So when he came back in the last episode, he was too late, he was out of time. But maybe in Bright Eyes, we might get some kind of resolution to like what happened. Like maybe not all is lost. I don't feel like there was a whole bunch of people who were gonna stay dead, except maybe Callisto. Like she looked like she was dead
Yeah, something happened with her
dead.
eye, like her other,
Yeah, I've
her.
seen people saying that that was a scene confirming she was alive because her eyes dilate.
Yeah.
I thought it was a scene confirming she was dead.
That's
Your
what
eyes
I thought
dilate when
was
you
too.
die? Do they
Well, I
get.
didn't see the dilation. I just saw her. Like, usually someone lying down, eyes open, means dead. I wasn't looking at the pupils to see if they were moving,
Yeah,
but
it
I've
looked
seen
like the
online.
life was leaving her. Yeah.
I'm gonna go on WebMD and say if my
Double check that.
I
I think
but I
it's
do
the
think
other, I think they expand when you die.
Oh.
but I do think that my prediction for how the show is gonna go is episode 6 is Life Death Part 2. So I think they're gonna resolve Storm's there. 7's Bright Eyes. And I wonder if it might just be a Cable solo story. And just be like, here's what Cable's been doing this whole time. And then we know from what Beau DeMaio said that 8 to 10 is like the finale. And I think at the end of that, they will reverse this through
I don't think they're
apocalypse.
reversing this.
I think they like,
I think there are certain things that are going to
I
figure
don't know if
itself
they
out.
should, but I also don't really trust Disney not to. Like, the idea of taking a lot of these characters off the table and then also greenlighting 2 more seasons is kind of crazy from just a business perspective. I think the story would be better if they don't reverse it, but like, it's Magneto and Gambit. Like, I think they're gonna want Magneto and Gambit for season 2's promotions.
I have two theories, one for each of them. I think they'll come back in some other way. But I think like Banshee and Mero dying. Matt, so many people died in this. It's
So
so. They're
that's the
not
thing is like
dead.
they've
I don't
confirmed
think they're
so many
dead.
deaths that it's crazy.
I don't think they're dead, y'all. Like,
It
their eyes were closed. They maybe just had battle wounds and they're like unconscious or something. I don't think we can like assume
I think it's almost
that they're all
worse.
dead.
I think it's almost worse if everyone just happened to survive. Like if for the next 2 seasons they're just like, yeah, they were on Genosha, but they're fine, don't worry about it, than if they just undo Genosha. Like, at least then this still mattered at one point. Otherwise, it's just gonna be like, oh, that big sentinel took out no one. It was shooting around, and people died for it, and it literally took out nobody, so it was fine.
That's the thing about Sentinels. In the cartoon, because it's a kid's cartoon, the original series, like Wolverine's claws don't stab people, they cut robots, right? Sentinels don't incinerate people, they just kind of like knock down some buildings, maybe smack Rogue a couple times. She flies into
Well,
another building, they defeat.
Sentinels kill Morph in like the first
Oh, yeah,
episode.
that's true. But then he
But
comes
then he's like,
back.
yeah, and
Then
he
he comes
comes
back.
back. But like, I don't know. The Sentinels never seemed like a big threat to me. Also, like being huge, you can like see them coming, I guess, and then whatever. But in this, the Sentinels actually like kill people and they're finally a threat, and you show like the actual like what does a horde of Sentinels do to a whole mutant nation? Oh, like it's tough.
I think we're gonna get a lot of Cable and a lot of Apocalypse in 8 through 10.
You think we're gonna get Apocalypse?
If they're doing a Cable story, there's no other way to go than
We're
Apocalypse.
gonna
Like,
get
that is.
Apocalypse, even if it's a glimpse. Like,
We get them in the
and I.
beginning theme song of this episode. They took some scenes from like previous episodes of the original series and they like reanimated them. So you see Cable like shooting Apocalypse and then like running away.
I think they're doing really interesting things with the intro when they change it every time because it's kind of working as a previously on, even if it's not.
Yeah.
Like, because it reminds you of characters' relationships. And Cable and Apocalypse are like arch enemies.
Yeah.
And so I think like that is to remind you that Cable's got beef with this giant robot man and where you might see the giant robot man in a little bit.
Right. Okay, so I'm just throwing it out there. I do think Apocalypse comes back at some point to bring Gambit back to life. That's just
Yes.
my theory.
Yes.
Like, I think
Yes. I
Gambit
think he's
is
like.
dead and he'll
And
come
then
back to
he
life that
becomes
way.
a horde, like in the comics.
Yes.
Yes.
In what
Yeah.
will be a better storyline than the one they had in the comics. So I'm excited to see it.
I have faith that this creative team will do things better because they did the Maddie relationship better. They did the idea of
Yeah.
clones, you know, with them.
They're managing to do a lot without
Yeah.
killing, like without assassinating the characters that the comics don't always do. Like, if this is the Mutant Massacre, oh my, I don't know why this keeps happening. Can you
It's
see me right now?
you okay over there?
I don't know why this happens.
It's all
I
right.
have no power over this. Okay, we're, but anyway, I guess there's like a button on this microphone that turns my camera off. I don't know what it is though.
Yeah.
But what was I saying?
A mutant massacre? Is that
Oh
what you're
yeah, this
saying?
is a massacre. They did it without ruining Gambit, which is the thing I was worried about. In fact,
Right.
they do the opposite.
Yeah. Vic Weave out there. Vic Weave says, "Oh, what if Black Gambit is how he comes back?" Yeah, I mean, in the comic, he's like pitch black red eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's just
that's him
like
as is
inverted
he come back
colors.
as death? Is that
Yes.
what because yeah.
He it's
Just
such a silly storyline at the comic. I'm so happy if they do it this way instead. Because he doesn't die at the comic. He just like shows up to Apocalypse and he's like, I'll be the herald of death. And Apocalypse is like, why? And Gambit's like, no reason. And then in his head, he's like, I'm gonna outsmart Apocalypse. And Apocalypse is like, I'm gonna rewrite your brain because that's how this works. So I don't know what plan you think this is, but all right. And then he rewrote his brain, and then he was just a herald of death. Like, it was just a stupid plan of Gambit's.
Yeah.
Well, he was trying to infiltrate, like, and just didn't work out the way everyone thought it would. But
Yeah. That's a wild plan. But I do think that perhaps that is the way, because the thing about this show is like they're making things matter. And although it is very superhero-y, very comic booky, like there's the soap opera aspects and everything, they're not, it's not a revolving door on death. Like, I feel like they're gonna take it pretty,
Well, that's why I
dare I
also
say,
think
realistically.
that's why I think the time travel shenanigans is more likely than individual resurrections. Gambit, just because he has history as the Horseman of Death, I think is a good pull in to make him death. But like in general, when they want to use Dazzler again, like they're just I
Is
don't think
Dazzler
they're in.
dead?
This is my point. Either no one died and it was fine, or they should undo it. And I, of those two, I think the latter makes is less unsatisfying. If the answer is everyone who was there happened to live, I am going to be a little upset with them.
Well, so
I
some
can't.
people
I
would
don't
have
think you
lived.
can kill Dazzler like that. Like you can't do that. The fan base will come for them. Okay,
True.
like the Dazzler stands. Like do not mess with them.
That's
Okay,
very true.
she was unconscious. Like that's what we're gonna say. She was
I feel like
unconscious.
this is Michelle's threat, saying it to
Oh,
the camera. Quote
no,
unquote, the random Dazzler, the Dazzler fan base.
I have spoken to management. No, I've talked to to Sean, who is like the main overseer of the show, and I was like, you can't tell me like I'm gonna get Dazzler and then you murder her, so she's coming back, right? Wink, wink.
Yeah. Maybe. Do you guys have a theory about Magneto's big death? By the way, oh,
Oh,
just like,
I don't think Magneto's dead.
I don't
I
think
don't think
he's
he's
dead.
dead. He's not
I
dead.
don't think he died at all. I think, because first, it makes no sense to do two heroic sacrifices in a row. Like, even while watching it, knowing pretty sure what was going to happen because of the comments that I'd gotten, I was like, but why would they have Magneto do it and then it not met work and then have Gambit do it? So I think he's definitely just alive.
You think it was a
I've
leech
seen the
thing?
theory that it's Leech. That bothers me because that's not how Leech works. But also, it might very well be how Leech works in this universe because he's hanging
Right.
out with people using their powers the whole episode. But I
You're
was
saying
watching
because
that.
it's voluntary versus involuntary stuff?
Yeah, because Leech is just a field. If you're close
Yeah.
enough to him, your powers don't work. And he can pull the field in and out, but like it's always there. And he's literally hugging Magneto as Magneto's doing this heroic thing. And I was like, this is my only issue with the show, is how on earth is the field so close that he could hug Magneto as Magneto still has powers?
That has to be on purpose then, right? It has to, they have to be like he can control it. That's the
I
only
mean,
thing. And then.
I guess if they change it to like he touches someone or something and then they lose power, like if it becomes willful, then it works. But this whole episode, I was like, how are any of these people still mutants around Leech? This is the whole thing. But I also
Yeah.
care about Leech more than most people, so I don't blame them if they just wanted to have a funky looking mutant kid and didn't worry about
You
it.
do care about Leech, is that what you said?
I love Leech. He's one of my
Yeah.
favorite mutants. I'm very happy that he's had like a line every episode. I'm like, wow.
He's just a little kid. Just let him. Ugh. Ah, it's so. Did you guys cry in this episode?
No. The
Okay.
closest I came was when Gambit saved the Morlocks, though. Not even his death. I just like that they let him win and help the Morlocks for once instead
Because
of
the X-Men don't
doom them
care
all
about the
to death.
Morlocks or whatever they said.
Yeah. They're explicitly like the X-Men have never been friends to the Morlocks, and then Gambit comes in and calls them his friends immediately and saves them from death. Which in the comics, he kills most of them, or is helps kill most of them. So it's
Leads, he
good.
leads the killers to them,
He leads the
right?
killers, and then he fights the killers off and I, in my opinion, he didn't do anything that bad. But in general opinion in universe, he is one of the main people responsible. So I like that they let him make amends in this universe before he died. And they presumably all died too.
Yeah. Because they're all the Morlocks were with Gambit or with Magneto, right? In that bubble.
I think so, most of them.
I don't know. There's a lot of Morlocks. I think that was just like a few.
Well, the ones that we
The
saw
one,
that
yeah, they're
fought.
like five that we've seen,
I
which are
don't know
like,
all the Morlocks' names. I feel like
it's
a
Leech is the
bad
little
X-Men
green
fan.
one. Tommy is the rainbow girl. Ape is the guy in the little purple hat. And I don't know if there were more. Those are the only
Who
three in my head, though.
who's the flat top? He looks like he's not Legion, but he has like.
No, he's someone, though. He's an X Factor. I forget his name. He like runs away during Mutant Massacre and then gets attacked by the cops. I forget him.
Oof. X-Men's always okay.
Yeah.
X-Men's always been hitting those things. Vic Weeb says that or Sinister clones everywhere. Everyone's a clone.
Well,
Yeah.
Sinister does have ties to Gambit. I mean, he's technically like a clone from some Summers DNA.
Originally,
So,
that was the
no,
intent, right?
that's in the end, the alternate universe that he's the son, he's Sinister clone.
In Claremont's like alternate
Yeah, in the What I Wanted
future
to Do
thing.
universe that Claremont came back to do, because Claremont wanted Gambit to be imaginary, and then they were like, no, and then he was like, fine, there's gonna be a Summers brother in my alternate universe. In real 616, I still don't think Gambit. Oh, there's the popular fan theory that Gambit's mom is like Scott's great 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 grandmother, which would make him somehow related to him, but that's about the only connection they have.
All right. Well, you know.
I mean, they could pull from, there's so much lore, to pull from so that we could get Gambit back. Yeah. Gambit's very
good at avoiding death most times.
Yeah.
He's got lots of ways he's gone about it, and they could just do any of them, and he's fine, and it's okay.
That final sacrifice that Gambit was doing, did you guys see it coming?
Yeah, but only because I kind of knew, but
Well,
yeah,
oh, okay.
same. I mean, I knew he was gonna go. I just didn't think he was gonna go like in episode five. Like I thought maybe like that would be like the finale or something, like leave us on a cliffhanger, like damn. But it was still sad to see, like to hear. I didn't cry, but like I definitely got. Like I could feel the wetness, like in my like my eyes glazed over, and it was like Wednesday morning before work because I know people were gonna spoil it, so I'm like I gotta watch it and get it over with, and I'm in bed with like my dog, and I'm just like, oh my God, what did I just see? Like what I thought I saw, and then I look over at my husband and he's just like silent, and yeah, it was hard.
It was something. It
Yeah.
was, I
Yeah.
do think it's the best death scene for Gambit ever. Like, he doesn't have a lot, but like, in general, this might be one of my favorite just X-Men things that have happened now. I think it's such a perfect send-off for him as a character. I loved it,
Yeah.
even though it broke my heart.
Yeah.
But it broke the internet, I feel. It
It did.
broke the
I get to see
X-Men
Gambit
fanverse.
fan cams now on TikTok. I'm not used to that, and like sad Gambit edits, and I'm like, wow. Is this what it feels like for your fave to be popular?
Yeah.
I mean, congrats, Vic Weave did mention that there are a lot of death flags for like Gambit, and bringing it into the Magneto Rogue Gambit love triangle, which, by the way, I'm not a fan of Magneto and Rogue. I don't know the age difference with them. I've never been a fan. Joseph, on the other hand, Joseph in the comics,
What's funny about it is that Magneto and Rogue are an older couple than Gambit and Rogue. Like by a little, but they do predate Gambit and Rogue's relationship, which is
Predate.
hilarious to me. I like it in the show less, because at least in the comic, it's just like they're both stranded in the Savage Land. They have to like, survive together. But in this one, it's very like hot for teacher. She's like, I don't know, I went to Magneto, and Magneto was going to teach me how to be a mutant. And then he painted me for some reason. And then we realized we could touch, and then we had sex. And I don't think that's as like okay.
It's also cult leader-ish because it's
Yeah.
this, he's on a throne. He's like, welcome. And it's just one-on-one time with the cult leader.
Rings a lot more like Magneto just being like, you're hot, we can have sex, versus before, which was felt like a more genuine connection. Because he just met Rogue in this version. He's just like, oh.
Well, I think they had to speed up time too. I think it was more of a slow burn, just like we had to speed up Storm and Forge's relationship. I think when you can't touch somebody and your options are really limited, like feelings can occur. Like you could see somebody differently. Since Rogue couldn't physically touch anyone else, all of a sudden she can, and maybe that just changes the dynamic a little bit.
No, absolutely
I
right.
mean, we didn't get anything like super sexual either. Like even Rogue's Savage Land outfit wasn't like overly sexualized. So
He is in
I'm not
bed
defending
and
the relationship.
she's
I'm
getting
just
out.
saying that
Yeah.
like, it
I can't
wasn't
blame
just
her.
like, yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean,
And I
that's
think
the
Gambit sees that too. Like he's like, I get it, but I love you. I love you too. Or like I could love you even without touching you, kind of a thing.
That's the like the, at the end of the day, that is exactly what it is. It's like Rogue can't touch someone except for Magneto. So
Right.
like how many options are there really? And I liked
Yeah.
that like it speaks to the soap opera-ness and the sadness of the episode, but like Rogue does pick Gambit at the end.
Yeah.
Gambit
But he
doesn't
doesn't
know.
know. He
Yeah.
doesn't know. And
He
oh.
leaves, but she does pick him.
That was very soap opery. That's the death flag that I saw, where I was like, he leaves, he doesn't see her turn Magneto down, and then like they don't talk about it, and then shit hits the fan. I'm like, oh no, this is classic, like someone's gonna die before they get to tell each other, the other person, how much they love them.
Yeah. No, this episode, I think it became more clear. I don't know, because I can't say, because I watched it knowing it was probably going to happen. But this time I was picking up lots of things. I'm like, I don't know how Gambit's getting out of this one. Especially because, like, when you wrap up the love triangle, seemingly, and are like, okay, this arc is done, then it's like, what's going to happen to the three of them? And
Yeah.
the solution to take out, if they actually did it, the solution to take out both men is hilarious. Like, resolving the love triangle by removing both options, so funny. But I
Yeah.
still don't think they did that.
Yeah. Shout out to on our YouTube chat, because we got YouTube chat and Twitch chat. Twitch is our main one, but Gambit2483 on YouTube says, I will remember it. Bringing it to the title, remember it. In a previous after show episode, we were like, what could Remember It be? And we're like, is this going to be a Wolverine-centric episode where he deals with his past? I'm so glad it wasn't. But the idea that this episode was called Remember It, and I didn't really realize what that means until the end. You guys dig that title?
I thought it was about Jean, because Jean's whole thing
Ooh.
was not having her memories and everything until the end. And then I was like, oh, well, that's sad. That's a sadder meaning than I thought it had. I thought it was
Well,
just a.
I think the whole episode really is about memories because you have Jean trying to remember her stuff. You have Magneto and Rogue kind of reflecting on their past together. And then we have, Gambit's final line, and it all kind of ties together. It's all about like thinking about the past. Like even Magneto, when he's being asked to be the ruler of Genosha or king, overseer, whatever his title is, he's
Chancellor.
remembering Chancellor, yes, Chancellor of this nation. He's kind of remembering like why it was founded and like what his purpose is. He's kind of reflecting on that. So
Thinking
I
about
think the
Xavier,
whole, yeah,
right?
thinking
A
about
promise was
Xavier's
made.
dream.
Yes. Which this was the episode that most called in question to me. And you actually referenced this earlier of like, when are they gonna address that Xavier's not dead? Because that's not how the 90s show ends.
Right.
I've been
I
waiting
know.
for that shoe to drop this whole time. I'm like, some of you know this information. Unless we're just doing a big retcon and not going to talk about it. But Moira has a line this episode. That's the first time it seems like they're getting close to it. Because he's like, surely someone else is better for this. And Moira says, yeah, but Xavier's not here. Which is like, could be that he's dead. But it's also like,
She says he's not here. She
yeah.
doesn't say he's not, he's dead.
And also, she's specifically saying that he is someone who like could go get to do this. Like, it's not like a, like, surely
yeah.
someone else is a better suit. You don't usually mention dead people.
Like,
yeah,
the
it's
he's quote unquote freshly dead. I know he's not dead.
At some point,
also,
I think, because like when Scott was looking at the death certificate, they would get all sad. I was just like, are we fully ignoring the end? Or like what? Because
yeah.
they know that he's in space. Like, I just.
I think they just have to put up this front. Like, he's dead. So, like, I think they're doing it to protect him. Like, he's in, like, witness protection or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just.
Also,
I'm so curious when we're going to get to it. If ever, maybe it's done. Maybe they're just like, yeah, he's essentially dead. It's fine.
Yeah. Shout out to the X-Men 97 comic. There are two issues out, and it's a 5-issue mini series, limited series, that bridges the gap in between the two series. So, you know, it's the 97 cast leading into this first episode. Go to comicshoplocator.com, find a comic shop near you, and grab those. I'm hoping that fills in the gap. Like that answers maybe that question of like they get a call from Lalandra. I don't know why she's calling with a phone, but like
she's like
oh
hey guys.
Yeah, by the way, Xavier died, and so like
no,
you know.
He just also happens to be dead. He left for space.
She's like, oh,
and then
bad
he
news.
Died unrelated.
Yeah, it's like
bad
oh.
news. It didn't work. He got a space cold.
Yeah, he slipped in the shower. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Oh, and they're like, oh no, that's horrible.
It is, so obviously they don't always do one-to-ones for these kind of things, but if they do choose to bring in Cassandra Nova now that they've done Genosha's attack, she does also take on the Shi'ar Empire. So like it's possible we go back to the Shi'ar via that way, but like I don't know. I feel like it's gotta be, the whole show is constantly like, oh, if Xavier was here, and he's literally like right over there. So like I feel like at some point they gotta bring him back and be like, yeah, here he is.
Yeah. First things first, I'm just not a fan of Cassandra Nova. That's just me.
Oh, really? I love Cassandra.
Like,
I don't really like her either. Like, I'm with you on that. I think it's weird. It's
and they
weird.
Like Morrison also like overdoes her like origin story to a point where like she could have just been an evil twin of Xavier, but it has to do with like
no, because if she was an evil twin of Xavier, they would have known about her. She's got to be scum that was like on a wall for 20 years.
That's so gross.
I think
and
she's
weird.
Like she's a parasite is how
yeah.
she's described.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, like that's weird.
The only issue I have with it is that they introduced this concept of the mum dry or whatever.
Yeah,
she
that's,
is.
The, yeah.
Like the psychic parasite thing and that your dark half. And then like no one else has one. And
yeah.
I'm just like, well, how are you going to introduce this? Like, the idea is that Xavier was such a powerful psychic that, like, his could take form instead of just being, like, a darker half inside of him. But it's like, there are other powerful psychics. Surely,
well,
this can't be the only recorded instance.
You got Dark Phoenix, so.
I actually, that's a fantastic point. This probably lines up better with the original interpretation of Phoenix than the current one.
Xavier gets a parasite. Jean gets the Phoenix.
It's he's like I got the short straw in that.
No, but I enjoy Cassandra. I like she's not overly used. Like I didn't like right now when she was like on a team, like on Marauders. I didn't care for that. But like her is the bad guy in New X-Men, and then her is the bad guy in X-Men Red, the first one, not the space one. I thought were both interesting uses, and she's the best of the quote unquote like bad Xavier trope. Like I'd take her over Onslaught or
yeah.
the other guy, Despair or whatever, all the other versions of Xavier but bad that they've done. But she's getting a lot of press now. If she shows up in this show and she shows up in Deadpool 3, it's gonna be something.
Yeah, I mean this
is maybe it's tied together. Like maybe
now that the Watcher showed up.
Okay.
I know right? Like it's crazy.
Fan theories are crazy, and I get it. We're on a podcast right now, and we're doing fan theories and whatever. So who's to say our fan theories are better than other people's? But people linking essentially the appearance of the Watcher, meaning that this is in the MCU. Also, they're talking like the MCM, right? Like the MCU is the universe. The MC multiverse would be connected. And not all Marvel properties are part of the multiverse or proven to be. Like, not all multiverses are
I think at this point
infinite,
we are supposed to take that they are. It just gets complicated, I think, with Sony, because Sony is doing its own thing just as a company. And so it's like the Spider-Verse doesn't feel like the same system, but both Spider-Verse and the MCU want you to think it's the same system because they like the crossovers. But it's like, but like the rules are completely different. I don't know.
I'm just also, shouldn't there be a different watcher for each universe?
Yes, they change how the Watcher works in the movies.
But in the comics, it's not that way, which means the comics are not connected, you know?
I think
The
so. I
rules of a
mean,
multiverse are different, and it's a different
it's
multiverse.
also like, shouldn't America not have a variant? So like, there couldn't have been America in the movies anyway.
Oh, I thought you meant the country. I
Oh
was
no,
like,
like America
what?
Chavez.
This is why. Let's get political.
I
So,
know. I
like,
was like,
what?
oh,
America,
that's a different
America, there's no
podcast.
variant. What?
I don't know why
Yes,
she freaking
exactly.
named that, but like,
America wouldn't. You're right.
it is like it's an adaptation, so it's supposed to be the same, but it's also like clearly not interacting with the comics directly. But like, I don't know, it gets very frustrating trying to think about any of these things as being attached because they love to
Right.
claim they're all attached, and it just doesn't work.
Right. It only work
Just
yeah, it
very
only
small
works
thread.
if there's a multiversal level event that then you see each universe be affected. So like DC's like live action Crisis on Infinite Earths that they did for the CW verse, they brought in like Adam West's Batman and like whatever, and like sure. But then Adam West's Batman also has to do with the Flash movie, which was horrible. I digress. Vic Weave is out there really killing it in our chat.
Thank you, Vic.
Maybe Xavier did a mind job on the team.
I mean, maybe that would explain why Scott and Jean are like mourning him alone with no one watching. That was the part of episode one that most got me. I was like,
Right.
what? You
Right.
guys know. But I don't know. Maybe play on like what happened in the 60s when Changeling died and then Jean would mourn Xavier alone despite the fact that she allegedly knew the whole time.
I mean, Xavier always be like mind wiping people though.
You know, it's one of his
So
favorite things to do, truly.
yeah, he probably messed with everybody. So
I
that could be
Gabriel
it.
Summers pops up. It's like, what
This
the
is so tangentially related, but I love when they finally did the retcon on Mystique and Destiny, that part of it was they were just like, then Xavier wiped everyone's minds. They just went to him and asked, and he just did it, and it was fine. And then he wiped his own mind because he just loves to do
Just
it.
he's like, I'm feel kind of left out. Can I mind
Like,
wipe
how do you
myself?
forget that I do all this shady stuff? I'm
Yeah.
just gonna wipe my own mind.
It's almost like
I'm like,
here's a
then
little
Cassandra Nova
some
walks in.
drugs for you.
Hey.
I'm gonna take some, for myself. Cassandra Nova pops up. Can I get a mind
She's
wipe? I don't
like,
know.
I've seen your brain. Like, I know. Like, I mean, Charles is pretty shady.
Charles is definitely shady.
Charles,
It's interesting
yeah.
because, like, in this show, he's not supposed to be. Like, this is a very This
Nice,
Charles is
Xavier.
idealized, and like they're always like, he's the good one. In the comics, he's always like, is he? But in this one, they're like,
Yeah,
even
like, is
Magneto is
he
like,
though?
I want to be like Charles constantly. So it's
Right.
like, okay.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah,
And he knows about it. He's like, I want to be like you, bro. Like,
speaking of Mystique, since this show came out, I've been expecting a Mystique appearance,
I think
a
she's
twist.
Val.
I think she's Val.
I don't know if she was always Val, but at least in this
This
episode, I
episode,
think she's Val for sure.
I definitely think so. Is that what we all think?
I think I believe so. Yeah.
I the
Because that's what
reason
she did in X Factor, right? Wasn't she like Val? She was somebody in X
she's
Factor for a while. Or maybe she was
I
multiple
forget.
people.
I forget the book, but she definitely poses as Val for a while because then she
Yeah.
shoots that one guy as Val.
Yes. Yes.
And I
Yeah.
mean, Mystique has not been shown this whole time through,
She's
even
shown in this on a flashback in this episode.
as a human, right?
Yeah,
As the human
because
form.
Rogue canonically doesn't know it's Mystique until season two of the first series. So they
Right.
can't show her as
Yeah. Right.
Mystique.
But she is in the beginning opening theme song with the run,
Yeah. She's there.
But
So is
there's a
Avalanche.
point.
Where's Avalanche been? Guys,
She.
put Avalanche in the show.
Am I thinking about this wrong? Is Avalanche shown in the flashback where she takes his power? like,
I don't know who that was. That might have been Avalanche.
I think she
but
takes his
I was talking
power.
about
He
in
like
like the rocks.
collapses and Mystique, like under the tutelage of Mystique, like she like uses Avalanche's power.
Probably.
I think that was Avalanche's.
It was a big gray guy. It could easily be Avalanche. There's not a
Right.
lot to distinguish Avalanche from other people.
That's why X-Men Evolution actually made Avalanche kind of cool
Well,
and
yeah, because they made
like
him Richter, which is
an
a better
actual
character
character.
who has the same power.
When Val sees when they say that like Rogue is gonna be his queen and Val has a look on her face.
She's not happy about that. She's like,
That to me was Mystique.
I've seen it theorized that there's going to be like some sort of flashback to the Savage Land arc with Mystique basically giving Magneto a like stay away from her kind of ultimatum, and that is why he's like fucking with her right now. But we'll see.
Do they know? Are they do the does Emma
I think
know? Would Emma know that Val would be Mystique?
Emma knows everything. She's just watching this like shit show, and she's
Oh.
like, damn, like there's some drama here. Like the
Yeah.
X-Men do not have their shit together.
Emma's freaking "Is it your dress?"
Is it your
was so
dress?
funny. Welcome back.
What?
We have a problem. Is it your dress?
Yeah. Or like when Matt when Madeline when they do the psychic affair thing and like by the way on first viewing I was confused by that. I was like which Jean? I don't I'm so confused on which Jean was who and what happened there.
That's why it's more like the two Betsys, because they took the idea of like they don't know which one's the real one,
Right.
which Jean and Madeline I don't think I've ever really had a problem with. And it's an interesting, this whole thing is like a thought exercise on what if Madeline Pryor got to stick around and
Right.
wasn't like editorially mandated off.
Right.
And it's interesting to see how she factors into these plots.
Also,
Well, she was part of the X-Men for a while. She was just part of a different team. I think Outback
yeah, she's in the
X-Men.
Outback era. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when she got with the other Summers, Alex, for a little
Yes.
bit,
Oh.
you know. Yeah, that's it's messy. It's messy.
What and also the plot of the comics is weird and they make it so much better in this. Like Jean Grey is quote unquote dead.
Well, Jean
And
is
then,
dead. Jean's like super dead.
but that was the Phoenix clone.
Well, so
So Jean is in the bottom of the bay
yeah,
at
she's
that
in the
point,
bay.
in the
Yeah,
cocoon.
has been dead for like 100 issues. They reveal that she's in the cocoon.
Through the retcon. Yes,
Yeah, through the
yes. Yeah.
retcon. But like, Jean's super dead. They introduce someone who looks a lot like Jean. They have a
Not
whole
even a
like,
lot like, exactly. She's a
well,
clone. It's so weird.
originally she just looks a whole lot like her. And
Okay.
then Mastermind is making people think she's identical. There's a whole 5-issue like arc about Scott thinks she's Jean, but then they find out it's just Mastermind tricking them and she's not Jean. And then he marries her and they live happily ever after. And then surprise, surprise, that whole Mastermind thing, throw it out the window. Didn't matter. She does look exactly like her. She is a clone. Jean is alive. And that is ridiculous. That
It's.
whole retcon is absurd.
I don't know if you guys have ever met a doppelganger of yourself in real life, but I hope you never do. Just to preface it, I once saw a person on Facebook that looked just like me, and I was like, I do not like this one bit, and I forgot they existed.
I get told I look like every single white person with a beard. That's 90% of my comments. And if there's a YouTuber and he has a beard, he's my doppelganger, apparently. I don't know why.
I think everyone has like a doppelganger out
Yeah.
there. Like you're just like slightly like off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that never happens to any of us where they steal our identity, and whatnot. Let's talk about some really cool things about this episode. And that's like all those mutant cameos that were in the background. And like people like us
Yes.
who have been, you know, X-Men fans for long, long time, other people can't like
They're
normal
like, who are
people.
these
Yeah,
people?
what does it matter, you know? But like we were noticing people. Was there one that stood out to you guys?
I was so excited to see Glob Herman and Nature
Yes.
Girl. Those two, for me, I
Yeah.
was like,
Nature Girl is wild because Nature Girl is a relatively new character, you know,
she
past
is.
5 to 10 years maybe. Like,
I would say so.
yeah. I can't remember. I think Nature Girl first appeared in Wolverine and the X-Men. I could be wrong when he teaches the class.
Think you're right. It's either Wolverine and the X-Men or the Generation X Volume 2 reboot. I can't remember.
Oh, I can't remember which one came first.
Yeah. Or if, because
But
some of
yeah.
those kids were in Wolverine and the X-Men and some of them came a little bit later.
Yeah.
She's definitely within the last decade or two, though. She is a
Yeah.
millennial character.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But no, there was a lot of good ones. I liked seeing Exodus living his interpretive dance phase.
It was weird to me, though. Why is Exodus just
Because
chilling
that's
there
like
and
the
dancing?
most Exodus thing, I think. This is like if this is a world where all of the X-Men kind of get to like fix and
Chill.
like make amends for their like comic pat
Yeah.
counterparts, like Scott's nice to Maddie, Gambit doesn't kill the Morlocks, whatever.
Yeah.
Exodus, instead of being an acolyte, just being an interpretive dancer on Genosha, that's like peak Exodus. That's what he should have been the whole time. He's living his truth, he's living his life. I support it. He's dead now, probably, but I support that he was there.
If anyone lived, he would have lived, right? Like, he's pretty
I think he
powerful. The
would live.
problem, Dimitri, they
I think he
can't
would
all
live.
live. Someone has to die.
Well, they're definitely gonna choose who's dying, right? Characters that they're not
Yeah.
gonna use. Banshee, Mero, I don't think they're gonna
I
use
feel
them.
like Banshee's gonna come back. I mean, you need Banshee,
This
like,
is
for
what
so many other stories.
this is the
Do you?
problem. Well, also, but like most of
Yeah.
Banshee's stories are done in the original. Like they did a lot of them without him.
Like,
But in the comics, we need Banshee, okay? We need him for Generation X, and then we need him for the Krakoan Age.
He's not even in the Krakoa age.
Like,
Yeah, he is.
to get his
Moira
face
like takes his
stolen?
face.
Yeah, he shows up as a
Betrayed.
skin suit. He could be a skin
Betrayal.
suit now too. They could
Oh.
just make a skin suit out of him.
Oh. I do you guys think this I hate to get back to the bad stuff. Do you guys think this was an inside job? Is there a betrayal
I'm
going on?
worried that Gambit will be implicated again because he does disappear right before it, and then like he shows back up with Magneto and Rogue after the whole like disorienting part, and it is in the comics he has a role in letting people in to destroy things, so I'm worried, but
I
also they
don't
gave
think
him such a
so.
wonderful send-off. I hope to
Yeah.
God they don't do it. And they've been very good about not ruining other characters. So if they choose to ruin Gambit specifically, I'll be very mad at the show. But I don't think they'll do it. Outside of that, there's no other character I think would make a ton of sense to be rigging it.
I
I
think
have
maybe Mystique, like maybe she like got involved in something and then it turned into something else and she was like, I was not about this because Val Cooper looks really distraught when all
That's
that's
true.
happening. So I think maybe she is involved, but it's just not going the way she thought, and now she's like, I messed up.
It's possible. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
I guess the other one is also maybe Shaw. Shaw's a very double
Yeah.
dipper kind of person, and
Oh.
he does play a role in, I think actually the Phoenix Saga is when he convinces the government to redo the Sentinel program and finances it. So I think he's tied enough to the Sentinels that it could be revealed he played a role in it. But it's also like I think he died in the attack as well.
He can die. That's fine. They can have him.
Yeah.
But it's less interesting to reveal like, oh, this guy who's dead played a role in
Unless
it.
we get like this flashback scene where it was like, oh, I don't know. Could it be, and I hate to say, oh, sorry, Michelle.
I was gonna say, it was pointed out to me that Bastion might have had something to do with it because there was like a brief moment where we see a head of hair that looks similar to his right before the gala. Like it pans across the gala, his head goes across the screen, and then you see like Angel flying. And we also kind of got a glimpse of him in the previous episode where his face was kind of covered up. There was like a picture of three people and his
With
face was,
Forge.
yeah, it was like Forge, Dr. Adler, and then Bastion was the third person, but there was a picture like kind of covering him. All you see is his body.
Yeah.
So maybe he's rigging things from like the inside
I
and
definitely think
cheating
he's
his
coming,
people.
but I
He'd be
don't
a very
know.
fun big bad to have.
Yeah.
And Nimrod.
And it would tie back into the beginning with the Sentinels that they've kind of
Right.
dropped. So.
I definitely think it's a human organization. I would hate to see like a mutant be betraying this mutant nation. But
Yeah.
also, I'm also throwing something out there. There's one human on the council.
But is there?
I
But
don't
is there?
know if how the Moira thing works
I don't
in
think
this
she's a
world.
I don't think she's a mutant in this.
Okay.
I would hate for them to do the Krakoa stuff. That specific
DeMaio.
thing.
DeMaio said she's not human, and in like the House of XCII or whatever, she's. Oh no, sorry. DeMaio said she's human, even as they're like doing Krakoa in the comic.
You're
So
saying,
like,
oh, he said she is human?
yeah, she is human.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my internet cut out just for a split second as you revealed that, but okay.
Well, I also said it the wrong way, so it's fine. But like, he said like she's human, and that. And then I believe in the comics that it's supposed to be the Krakoan Age, but with this universe, she's like still human.
Oh,
So
with X,
then,
it was like X-Men M92
XCII.
M, yeah, something like that.
But which is 92, but with an X in front of it, so that they can make
Whatever
it
the
look like
Roman
House of
numerals
X.
are. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think they're not doing that. But also, she was very suspicious on the council, and she said a few things that made me be like, does this Moira know more than we think Moira knows?
Yeah.
Moira's shady, man. Like, I don't know. I think she could be a mutant and maybe just doesn't know it still, because, I mean, she got the legacy virus, and they're like, oh, it's only for mutants, and yet she got it.
Did
So,
she get it in this universe, though? Well, legacy virus
I
is this legacy virus in this universe?
think it's in the original at some point. Oh no, but
yeah.
it might actually post-date the originals.
Yeah, legacy
So.
virus is like 97, I think. Like around there, kind of later 90s. Yeah, I mean, she could. I don't think she's a mutant, but her being a human on the council is fishy to me. And it makes me seem like, makes it like I wouldn't be surprised if she was bad,
It would
but
be
a
interesting
human.
if they jumped straight to Moira X and just made her like a robot person, and
Yeah,
like to tie in with the
maybe that's
Sentinels.
what she is. Maybe
Yeah.
that's what she is.
You know? But there were a lot of background cameos, but I loved seeing Nightcrawler pop back up.
I love that it's normal Nightcrawler and it's not the weird monk from the original series.
Yeah.
I am so happy that he's like fun and cool. They had like one line about it where it was like, yeah, the monks on the Alps. Anyway, I'm
Killer
this guy
monks or something,
now. And
right?
it's like, great, because you were weird in your two appearances in the show. So I'm happy that that's just not a thing anymore.
Yeah. Also, his art style looked very similar to like the way Ed McGuinness drew him in like Astonishing X-Men. No, Extraordinary X-Men. When he comes back to life in heaven, like that whole thing, it just
See,
looked like a
everyone can get
funner.
resurrected. Everyone
Yeah,
can come back.
it looked like a way more fun interpretation of Nightcrawler, which I love. And then he
Better
sl
hair for sure.
better hair for sure. And then he slow motion teleports them away, and it was super badass. And then he, oh,
I
not
don't think
doing
he
good.
died.
He doesn't die, but
Yeah, he
Rogue
didn't
can't
die.
touch him because
I
Rogue wants a
know.
check, and she's like, I can't do it. And
I
then
know,
Gambit
man.
comes in, you know?
Yeah.
Do you guys have like favorite moments? Anything nicer? Anything more fun about this episode? Because
That Ace of Base like moment, I heard the notes like start up. I'm like, no, I'm like, this is not Happy Nation Ace of Base, is it? And then sure enough, it like goes right into it, and I'm all, that is so badass. I love that they utilize that particular song for that moment. That was really cool.
It's not happy, but my favorite moment's the end. I think that's the coolest one. Like, it's sad, and it's like he's my favorite, but like, God, was that cool.
It was super cool. Like, I don't know. People love to talk shit on like the grounded level kind of mutants, the non-Omega mutants. Like, Gambit doesn't fly. He charges things up. Like, how much of a threat can he be?
I love their in the original show, I don't think he does a single thing other than throw cards. which has led many people to think that his power is tied to the cards. And I
Yeah.
love how much the show is going out of their way to show that he could do it to anything. He just
Yeah,
chooses cards
Beignet,
because he's cool.
Wolverine,
Such a badass moment though. He took off his sash and like the whole monorail is coming and he does this. And it I didn't know, could he always channel through objects?
Yeah, because he does it with the staff a lot.
He touches things with his staff to explode them? Oh, okay.
There's
But
a really
like,
funny comic
so
where he like the staff is sometimes, I got into so many arguments on this online, but the staff is sometimes like special. Like it's like one time referred to as being alien, some other times it's like vibranium or whatever, just so he could do that kind of shit. But there's a really funny comic where he just like he's mad at Deadpool, who's like around for some reason, and Deadpool's killing people, and he's like, "Stop killing people." And Wade's like, "I have swords. That's what they do." And then he's like, "Okay, fine." And he charges his staff and he gives it to Deadpool, which somehow works. And then Deadpool is just using it and like smashing people and blasting them with kinetic energy for the rest of the fight.
can't Gambit choose when an object explodes?
He can do delayed charges, but it takes work for him. It's
Oh,
harder on him.
okay. Gambit gets some really kick-ass
He gets good shit. I
application of his
love it.
powers in this. Like,
Though the scene of him hitting Rogue with the bike is so funny to me. It's
which part? Because I mean, it is funny, but like.
just because it's a super sad moment. You had heroic sacrifice number one just happen. Heroic sacrifice two is in process, and the Gambit's like, actually, I want to do the heroic sacrifice. So he just smacks her with a bike to get her out of the way, and then runs towards
Well,
the fence.
the laser's coming towards her. Like, she wouldn't have reached the
No, I
Tri-Sentinel in time.
understand, but it's just so funny. He's just like, no, this is my moment. You have to go away. Like, you think he's gonna use the bike to be helpful, and then he's like, nah, I got another plan. It's kind of like in Star Wars when they have the thing with Flynn, and then Rose just like comes in and knocks Flynn out of the way, and then Rose
Yeah.
does it, and it's like, oh no, flip it. I don't remember how it happens in Last Jedi, but somehow the
She hits
same
him out of
sorcery
the way
happens.
and they blow a hole through the door or whatever. Like,
Yeah,
he fails, but
but. No, I don't know. It's just funny to have you have these two super sad moments of Magneto and Gambit dying, and they're punctuated by Rogue getting hit with a bike, which is unfortunate. It's
yeah.
at least she's fine because she's Rogue. She could take a lot of hits, but
Right.
it's
It's just
just
a that's a small push for Rogue.
yeah.
It's just like a tap. Like,
Also,
please, honey, get out of the way of the laser.
you didn't have to charge it, Gambit. Like I think getting hit with a bike would take her at least
I don't
out of
know.
laser range.
I don't know.
I mean, she was pretty like. I mean, I personally didn't view that as like a funny moment. It was more of like an act of desperation almost. Like he sees like the person that he cares about the most. Like she's literally blinded by rage.
Oh,
And
absolutely, for
she's
sure.
heading like not even thinking about the consequences.
I don't think
And
it's
then
supposed to be comedic. And I on the first watch, I was like so locked in that I didn't find it. But when I rewatched it, I was just like, it's I forgot this moment was in the middle there where he has to get Rogue out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he maybe charges it like not on purpose, but maybe he's also desperate and like just not thinking either, and it could just be accidentally charged, you know? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
He does get her out of the way. Keep in mind, in his head state, like, he doesn't know that Rogue turned down Magneto. Like, the love of his life still turned
Yeah.
him down. He
And then
isn't.
she's going to avenge what in his mind is her love, Magneto. And
Yeah.
he's stepping into, I don't know, I don't think he plans to die, is the other thing.
No,
Like
he
Gambit
doesn't.
thinks that Rogue is going on a suicide run, and then he's like, I got another option.
I'm gonna
I'm
get
going to
close enough to
live.
touch.
Well, I mean,
I mean,
was that even the
that's his
plan?
plan. I
I
think
feel like
his
he
plan is
doesn't
to touch
have
the
a
Sentinel in
true
one way or
plan.
another.
I think his plan was to go smack that thing in the face with the staff, the way that he was running up and smacking things with the staff, and then he has it over his head when he gets stabbed. I don't think that was a great plan, but I think it's like what he says, the cards are always in his favor. He was running on luck and he was like, this is gonna work somehow. I'll get there. It'll work out. The thing will die. Figure it out as I go.
I think he was okay with dying. Like, he knows, like, that as long as he can touch. Because basically, they mentioned that nobody can get close. Like, nobody can get close to this sentinel. Because the sentinel, up until that point, that main sentinel is shooting people with beams. And, like,
Yeah,
Gambit
like from all
can't touch a
directions.
beam, charge up a beam, and send it back. Like, he can't do that. So he has to get close enough to touch, which I think was his choice. Like, he could throw things, but that's not doing any damage. So I think he's getting
but
close enough
also
to
he's
touch.
got to get not only close enough to touch, but he's got to do it for long enough to charge the whole thing. Like,
Yeah, the
really,
whole unit.
the best way is to get stabbed like he did. But I don't think he planned to be stabbed. I think that he got stabbed and then made the best of it.
Yeah. And I mean, he does make the best of it.
He does. And he has a cool, amazing line. The only other time I've seen Gambit, I think probably not the only time he's died, but the only time I've seen like Gambit have last words was when he told Merlin, you old shit, I've been death, and then Merlin killed him. Which is great last words, but I do think this one's more poetic than and pretty than that.
It's nice when the kid in real life it doesn't always work this way, but when a character gets a final word and you can it's like what's your final line? Magneto says, do not be afraid
Yeah.
to leech. And by the way, this is through like flashbacks of like the Holocaust for Magneto, which is pretty overt the way they do that in the show, right? Like they show one shot, but it's of those
Yeah.
barbed wire fences in
It's the barbed
the
wire fences. You see the star patches. Like, it's pretty clear. It's weird they won't say the word. I've seen that as a criticism of the show, and I do think it's a criticism of X-Men in general. It took until like 2008, I think, to like for them to say Holocaust, even in the comics. It's always like the trials of my ancestors or something. But like, I don't know. But this is definitely some of the more graphic Holocaust imagery we've gotten in adaptation.
in a quote unquote kids cartoon. I don't think this is a kids cartoon. I don't think
Yeah.
this was,
I don't think they want to date it either. Like, I don't think they want to tie it to a certain time frame because they've done that with other things where, like, Magneto talking about his parents no longer being here, he doesn't say why, like, but there's alluding to things that have happened.
Yeah.
And I think even with Wolverine, like, he's been through wars, but they're not saying like what wars specifically. It's I think it's more of like to leave it the time more ambiguous rather than to not touch on certain issues that are harder
But
to talk about.
they have mentioned the time. Like, there's an episode with Captain America, Wolverine, and a young Magneto in World War II. Like, in the
Oh, it's
fifth
Magneto in that
season.
episode?
It's a
I
young
forgot that.
Magneto. It's like a kid
Okay.
Magneto, right?
They're definitely being clear it's the Holocaust, but they're just like, I guess
Not
his
saying the
speech could
word.
be vague. Like, his speech could be like it was just some bad thing that happened in his past. But like, the Stars of David stitched onto your clothing with a barbed wire, I feel like is only really applicable to one time period.
Yeah.
But it is also so blank and you'll miss it that, like, yeah, I think it's one of those things with Magneto where it's like you can't think too hard about how old he should be that you kind of have with a lot of them now because
Also, the
we actually.
year is 1997, but
So he's only 60. Depends how old he was in the Holocaust.
How old
Yeah.
is Rogue? I don't know,
Yeah.
we're still we're you know we get back on that.
Weirdly, I think Rogue is older in the show than she is in the comic. Like at the time in the 90s. Because Rogue's introduced
Oh.
in this in the 80s at 17. So she's like barely 20 something in the comics. But like in this, they're all seemingly roughly the same age, which seems like upper 20s. So I think for this time period, Rogue is older than she was actually in the show. She's
Yeah.
not like the kid on the team.
No. And she's not like Wolverine's sidekick. Like, and I don't even think if they hinted at that was like
No, because
she was ever.
this predates the movies, which made that a real
Right, that's
phenomenon in
true.
Evolution and Wolverine and the X-Men as well.
Right, because Shadowcat was that character back then. I don't even know if Shadowcat
Wait.
exists in this.
No, because before the show, there was Pride of the X-Men, which didn't get
Yeah.
picked up. And because Pride of the X-Men failed, they never put Kitty in the original series. And I don't know if there's time really to put her in this one. You gotta, like, all of her big things, they did Days of Future Past without her. So,
Yeah.
and they have
Yeah, she
Jubilee as the kid one. So it's like, what
Yeah.
are you gonna do with Kitty?
Also, talking about Days of Future Past and just stuff, like Cable coming back and having that moment with Maddie. And like I also love that the fact that this adaptation is clearly stating Maddie is Cable's mother. Like, that's
Yeah.
the way it is in the comics, but people are always like, it's Jean Grey and Scott's child. And it's like,
No, they have X-Men. They have Nate Gray
yeah, but
and Rachel.
not the
Not even
old-fashioned
is it
way.
Nate like genetically made?
Yeah. It's not old,
Yeah.
it's not the old-fashioned way. It's
That's Age of Apocalypse, Nate, like from a different like future.
The
I think their
only,
only kid is Rachel.
yeah, the only Jean Grey Cyclops kid the old-fashioned way is Rachel.
But Jean like does adopt Cable and like raises him in the future as whatever
Yeah.
fake name that she had. So
Ascani,
like
no,
Red.
Ascani's son?
No,
No,
Ascani's
she's,
Rachel.
yeah, you're
It
right.
was Red and Slim. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it. Red and Slim. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she is his mom, kinda. But also like I like because they took Madeline off the board. That's the whole thing. It's like this is a thought experiment of what if Madeline just got to be here? And I like that. Like she gets to
Yeah.
be with her son, kinda.
Yeah. Also, in the original cartoon, I don't think they state that Cable is related to them,
I
right?
think definitely the 92, like the first seasons, predate that retcon. And I
Yeah.
don't know if they ever worked the retcon in as the
Yeah.
show kept going.
It's wild to think that. Because we're here now in 2024 and like looking at decades past, like, oh, yeah, they never said.
It's
Also,
wild how much the original show is adapting as things come out. Like the show
right.
tackles Gambit's origin before the comics did. Like it's a very similar origin,
Yeah.
but like they came out like a month before or something. I'm sure they were talking to Marvel and like, what is Gambit's deal? And they're like, oh, there's all this bullshit with New Orleans and an ex-wife. And they're like, okay, we'll run with that.
Yeah.
Like it's like so funny. Like Gambit and Jubilee, I think both had been around like a year by the time they were just main characters on this,
Yeah.
along with Cyclops and everyone. And then like the reason Gambit's the bad guy in their version of Days of Future Past is because Bishop in the comics at that moment was mad at Gambit for some reason that they wouldn't reveal. And they're like, what if it was this? And so they just did that instead.
Yeah. Also, the idea, and I only found this out recently because I didn't realize this as a kid. The whole Magneto helmet blocking Xavier's powers is an X-Men movie. The first movie came up with that
They took it
based
from
off of
a
Juggernaut's
Juggernaut.
helmet. But in the original cartoon, that wasn't the case. But in X-Men 97, they mentioned that his helmet stops Xavier's telepathy.
It becomes like a whole metaphor. It's beautiful
Yeah.
in the new one. It's just not the case at all. Like, it's just a little bit of gaslighting for the audience.
They're like, yeah, you
Don't
know.
think too hard about all those times that Xavier read his mind while he was wearing the helmet in the show.
His helmet's just like a fashion choice. Okay.
They never explained the weird scarab on it, to my
Oh,
knowledge.
the diamond with the little horns
Yeah,
thing,
whatever that
like the
thing is.
gem.
It's kind of like how Mystique has a skull on her head, and
I
then it's
hate
like.
Mystique skulls, by the way. That's just me. I hate Mystique skulls so much.
Why?
They don't make sense to me. Like, what is this? This is just part of your aesthetic, I guess, but like
You
then
like skulls?
there's a skull on the forehead, there's a skull on the belt, like a skull belt utility pouch thing. I don't know. She doesn't throw it and it doesn't do anything. It's not Hobgoblin. It's just like
She likes skulls.
she likes
Fashion
skulls.
accessories. Who doesn't like a nice little skull?
I don't know. It's just not my thing. X-Men Evolution Mystique doesn't have skulls. I do like that design. But neither here nor there. Mystique's not in this episode, so why are we talking about her? As we close up this episode, are there any hopes and dreams that you guys have for the next upcoming episodes? We have five more episodes left. It's a 10-episode season.
Yeah.
The last three episodes are a three-parter called Tolerance is Extinction. So we have Life Death Part Two, which will deal with, I'm assuming, Storm. That's in the next, this upcoming week. Then we have Bright Eyes. Then we have Tolerance is Extinction Part One, Two, and Three. More people gonna die?
Yeah, I mean, Beau DeMaio called this episode the warm-up, and so the 8 to 10 was the real
Oh.
shebang. So I think there's definitely more death in the future, but I do think also at a certain point you hit the tableau of this is too many deaths and they have to wipe the slate clean. But we'll see. I do think zero, so what is tolerance is extinction. I had already heard people think was going to be a combination of zero tolerance and E is for extinction. Clearly they got to the latter a little early for that, but I think it's going to be a real shit show. I think what I'd like to see is Cable going to the future, have the big fight with Apocalypse, the big reveal of who Cable is. Well, I guess I already revealed it, but like have Scott and then understand who Cable is and
Yeah. Future times.
Yeah. I want to see an Orcus style human organization behind the scenes. It doesn't have to be Orcus, but we're
Well, we have
talking.
Friends of Humanity that's kind of been
Yeah.
filling that role.
But
Yeah,
they're
but
just like
Orcus is a little different.
thugs. Yeah.
Orcus is like more calculating and like
Like
they do
Oliver
things.
Trask should be there.
Yeah.
Guy Rich. You
We
know.
both Bolivar and Guy Ritchie as part of Friends of Humanity. That's my exact point.
Is Bolivar part of Friends of Humanity?
Well, he's with Guy Ritchie.
Oh.
And, like, I
Yeah.
don't know. That first episode made it seem like they were all attached to each other.
Right. So Friends of Humanity is probably attached, but also like who else? There has to be some group. And I'm saying, like, if they're looking for an open spot, Moira is right there. We also don't see Moira at all during this whole thing.
That's a
We
good
see
point.
Banshee.
Banshee's
Oh.
carrying someone when he gets shot. Is it Moira?
Marrow. It's
Oh,
Marrow.
Mara. Oh, okay.
Sounds like Moira. Marrow.
That's
Marrow is who Banshee is carrying before they get blown up.
actually really funny that because Mara's the one who survives the Morlock massacre, and she's the one who got shot. If we were to assume that Magneto successfully saves the other ones, at the end, then it's just like a flip.
Yeah. But like
I don't think Magneto's dead, and I think this event is going to act as a catalyst where he comes back and he's like, you know what? Fuck all of this. Like, I tried. I'm done. Like, I'm gonna be the baddie. Like, I think it's
I don't
gonna
want
be.
that.
I mean,
I can see
it
it.
could happen
Absolutely.
though, because Magneto has his own agenda and he's already like been struggling to do what like Xavier would do. And even during that meeting, how Moira was being super shady to him and saying, you know, like we had somebody in mind and it wasn't you. Like he's not living up to Xavier's dream and he's feeling that. And I think with the attack on Genosha and seeing like Rogue hurt, like maybe somebody he actually does care about, like seeing her hurt. I think that is going to be a catalyst for him to like turn coat. And he might not necessarily be the big bad, but I think he is leaning towards no longer like embracing Xavier's dream.
I could definitely see that because especially like he's been so idolization he has so much idolization of Xavier so far. It would be really interesting if they were like if he was like, you know what, actually this was all stupid,
Yeah.
Xavier, why'd you do
Yeah.
this? Also, it would tie into something we didn't really talk about, which is that they hint at like revolutionary version of Cyclops in this episode. Like Cyclops goes
Oh,
off on Trish
yeah.
and has some of his like more 2000s characterization that is sort of like tied in with what Magneto's whole sort of point was. And it'd be interesting. It'd be really interesting to have Magneto come back and be like, actually, Xavier's dream doesn't work, and have Cyclops, instead of like have the X-Men fight him, agree and be like, no, hold on. I'm also getting radicalized over here.
Right. I mean, you could do the ultimate X-Men heel turn of Cyclops. That happens at the end of the first arc of Ultimate X-Men. By the way, I'm a unabashed Ultimate X-Men fan. Just you know, early
Free game.
2000s, like I know it was wild. I know it was wild and it gets
Was
bad.
wild.
It gets
Pretty
bad,
wild.
but
Cannibalistic blob.
that's bad. Yeah. Ultimatum onwards, bad.
Yeah, ultimatum got
It
crazy,
ruined it.
but
But Cyclops doing the heel turn at the end and joining Magneto in like the issue like 4 or whatever. I don't know. Could,
it could.
you
I
know.
mean, I'm down for revolutionary Cyclops, and I'm also down for revolutionary Magneto. I think it'd be a very interesting thing for them to be like, Xavier
That's
had this lofty dream in the 90s. And now we're here today, and things aren't that simple.
it's still the 90s.
Well, I mean, it's 97, but like
Yeah.
also DeMaio in like his big long statement he posted
Yeah.
was like talking about how this is supposed to be kind of like 9/11, and
Yeah.
like there's nothing will ever be the same in this world. So I think
It's
we're gonna see a lot more pessimism from the X-Men than we're used to from the show.
is
I think
amazing
everyone's
how
changing.
in the show.
Yeah, I think this is just gonna make each one of the X-Men like it could divide them,
Yeah,
maybe. Like
that's
it
true.
could lead to like, you know, X-Men blue, X-Men gold. Like not dividing in a bad way, but dividing up like, okay, you know, we have like a bigger roster. Like, you know, in some of the comics, like X-Force was kind of brought on to deal with like the less pleasant missions, if you
Right.
will.
Right. I mean, I would love to see some segmentation, mostly because what I like about this series is that, like, truth be told, when all the X-Men are together, they're a god squad. Like this would not have happened if all the X-Men were there on Genosha. Storm had her powers, like everybody was there. Jean wasn't there, right? Like, none of this
No,
would have
it's
happened.
very B squad is part of the like the heaviest hitters they had were Rogue and Magneto, and that's why they had to like take them kind of out.
Right.
But
And
like right,
Storm too. Like, they took Storm out a couple episodes.
well, I meant like on Genosha,
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, the whole show has been they've been sort of winding down the team, I think, so that you can have something like this
Right.
where it really does go back because that otherwise they are just too overpowered.
Right.
But no, I could see the team split off. Also, I feel like Rogue. If we're doing like a radicalization thing, Rogue is in a prime state to question everything now, as potentially two of the people she cared the most about have been, if not dead, killed, seriously injured.
Right. I don't want to see Magneto heel turn again. I'm tired of Magneto flip-flopping. I would love to see him separate himself a little bit, being like, I can't be an X-Man because I can't be what Charles wanted me to be, but I can be a good person just in
I think
my
it's
own
just
way.
gonna call into question. I don't think they'll ever be like, Magneto is evil. We must stop Magneto again. I just don't think that the cultural zeitgeist is there for that anymore. Too many people agree with him. But I
Yeah.
do think there could be a thing kind of like that where it's like, he's just not gonna go about it the X-Men way. And the idea of it, is that make him evil is gonna be, could be a bigger question.
Yeah. I don't want like a Zorn thing. I don't want
No
like
chance they
nobody
do
wants Zorn.
Zorn. If
I
they
don't
do
want that.
Zorn, it'd be the ballsiest thing the show's ever done. It'd be so insane to
Please
try.
no. Please no. It was so convoluted. Gambit 2483 on YouTube says the heaviest hitter defeated the enemy, sir. I think saying Gambit's the heaviest hitter. Who
Yes, but
finished the
like,
job?
I mean, I agree that Gambit's amazing, obviously, but
Right.
like, he was not considered the heaviest hitter of what they were fighting. When the
Yeah.
Sentinel was looking at targets, he literally moved away from Gambit.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Gambit 2483 and Philosopher King out there on YouTube. Vic Weave, killing it on the Twitch chat. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that can happen in this, and I think keeping the X-Men apart is the easiest way to defeat them. Bishop has gone to the future, right? With Cable. Cable can't even like stay in one time period at a time.
I'm
Everybody's kind
so
of
intrigued by the forced time travel. Like everything about the implication of the Cable scene is so fascinating. The fact that he's like, this can't happen again, as if he's tried this before. The fact that Madeline immediately recognized him, and the fact that he like is forced to leave, like he like d wants to stay, and something is pulling him back. All of that
Maybe we see it.
fascinating.
Maybe we see it in Brad Eyes.
I think if it's called Bright Eyes, I have to assume that's where we're getting our information.
Yeah. I don't know what's to come, but I have faith that they're gonna pull it off. And this is just a crisp, clean 10 episode season with a three episode finale. I love, by the way, I'm just a huge fan of not binging. Like, I don't like bulk releases of shows. Like, this show lives and breathes through the weekly schedule. So I'm
Yeah.
excited.
It's nice that it stays relevant to talk about for so long.
Yeah.
And like, and Wednesday we'll have more things to talk about instead of just being like, that was good. And then 3 weeks later we all forget about it.
Which happens a lot with like these bulk releases. And like, otherwise this would be just a 10 episode binge. It's just a really long movie, and that's it.
Yeah.
Instead, no, this is an experience. So, I'm happy to be talking about it with you guys. So thank you so much for being a part of this whole thing. And this was a big episode, so I'm very
Yeah.
happy that I got you guys for this one.
Well, thank you for having me. That was
Yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get going, I want to thank, everybody out there in the chat, Gambit 2483 and Philosopher King out there. On YouTube, we got Vic Weave and some Nikhil Clayton guy also on our Twitch chat. We also had Miss Marauder earlier and Merlin the Hermit. Shout out to everybody out there. We couldn't get to everybody's stuff. I did want to shout out a user on our Instagram story for putting. I asked any questions, comments, concerns about X-Men 97. And then BCL Aries says Storm and Gambit are my favorite X-Men cryy face. So yes, if you are a Storm and Gambit fan right now, Storm's depowered and Gambit's de-lifed. So
For now,
for
for
now.
now.
So, it's
Storm's
sad.
definitely gonna come back next episode. So like, you got that. And then Gambit will be
Yeah.
back soon.
Storm is going to come back and is going to get her powers back, but I'm going to be heartbroken when I see Storm see what happened in Genosha.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody else is watching it. Storm, I'm assuming, is fighting the adversary at this time.
Yeah, she's like in Pocket World. I don't even think
Yeah.
she's on Earth. Like,
You
I
know?
thought for a second, this is not the episode, but like last episode when she was like, oh, the wind only blows in one direction. I thought it was just gonna be Forge's like weird house, like Eagle Plaza 1, that's all holodeck, and that they just were not in the wild. And I was
Oh.
like, that's funny. Because like Life Death takes place in his little holodeck in the book. And
Oh, okay.
so I was just like, oh. Weird choice that to make it look like they're outside and then just be like, oh, it's just in the inside still. But no, it was worse. It was a worse option.
We'll see her come back, but I'm so scared of what's to come, especially if this is a warm up for the three part finale and everything. So
I can't wait. This is such a good
we
show.
shall see. Before we get going, again, thank you to the chatters out there. Thank you to you too. Nikhil, where can we
Yo.
find you? What do you got coming up? Anything you want to plug?
You can find me at Nikhil Clayton on TikTok, YouTube, and Twitch. You can also find me Real Nikhil Clayton on Instagram. If you're watching this and you don't follow me on Instagram, please do that because I'm very close to 10K and I really, really want 10K. I think I need 40 more people. You could be one of those
Just
40.
40?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh.
We're so close.
Okay, all right. Yes, anyone out there who is not following Nikhil, follow Nikhil. And if you're not following Michelle, follow Michelle. And if you're not following the show, follow us at The Keeg Show on Instagram and TikTok as well. But Michelle, wait, oh, Nikhil, did I cut you off? Do you
No, I'm
got
good. I'm done.
you just need your 40
Yeah, I
people?
just need my 40 people. That's my
Okay.
thing.
Let's get Nikhil his 40 people. Michelle, where can we find you? What do you got coming up? Anything you want to plug?
I'm on Twitter slash X as well as Instagram at Michelle Waffle O. Those are my only social media platforms. I don't have anything else. I've got a Shortbox Live coming up in May with the Shortbox Street team that I'm a part of. If you haven't checked out Shortbox, it's a great app where you can buy and sell comics online. Besides Shortbox Live, I've got comics and cocktails coming up locally if you're in the LA area in June 22nd. Also kind of celebrating my birthday. There, that's like my birthday month.
Okay.
So,
Oh, really? Wait, when's your birthday? If you could say live on audio.
it's June 5th, but the comics and cocktails event is on the 22nd.
And what's
If
your
it's going
mother's maiden name and what street
to
were you did you live on as a kid?
Oh,
Michelle, my birthday is the 6th of June.
Gemini
Oh, that's why you're
gang
asking.
gang. Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun little event. There's going to be a lot of comic book vendors there selling. There's going to be a full bar. It's a lot of fun. I've partnered with the Solid Seven and We Can Be Heroes locally. They've invited me to these and they're so much fun. I always meet a bunch of great people.
Awesome. I've
Yeah.
I wrote it down. I wrote down the date. So
Oh, okay.
perhaps
I know
I
you
might
live
show up.
far. I know it's
Oh,
far. So
it's always
he
funny.
does live
Like
far.
I, LA people love to be like, oh, Orange County is so far, I can't make it out of Orange County. Like I make it up to LA all the time. I will be
I
there. I will be there. It's mostly
well,
because
I'm on the other
LA's
side.
cooler. LA's cooler than
Let
Orange
it be
County. I
known,
get
it
it.
took me
That's
2 hours
why.
to get to the Keegs' house.
Yeah.
So that's far.
I'm sorry.
It's
I'm
because of
sorry.
traffic. It's because of
Yeah, it
traffic.
is. It
Oh,
is.
so I get it. And I know, like, Dimitri, we've always like tried to get together.
Yeah.
But you live on one side of LA and I live on the other.
Yeah.
And like that time combined is like 3 hours.
I'm not blaming you guys. Again, LA is cooler, so people are forced to go to
It's more
LA.
central. I
Yeah.
wouldn't say it's cooler. I would just say it's
I
more
mean,
central.
I was at Paley Fest. I was at the low key Paley Fest panel last night, and I'm
Ooh,
going
look at
to back
you.
up to Paley Fest for Avatar: The Last Airbender panel tonight.
Oh, nice.
And
That should be
so,
fun.
like, LA is what it is. But, you know, if anyone ever wants to come to North Orange County where there's no beaches, come out to North Orange County.
If anyone wants to come to Orange County, come to Orange County.
Yeah, you know.
Great. Good to know. Yeah,
Yeah, you know. thank you both of you so much for coming on this. Again, for people out there who haven't followed Nikhil and Michelle, definitely go follow them. If you are watching us live, you're watching us on twitch.tv/thekeegshow or youtube.com/thekeegshow, or maybe you're listening to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And I think we're on like Amazon, whatever the podcast thing for Amazon is now, because I think Google Play doesn't exist anymore. But the point being is, or Google Podcasts. But find us out there, like, comment, subscribe, follow, write a review. Hopefully, help us out, whether it's the live stream or the podcast. If you're on social media, at the Keeg Show on TikTok and Instagram are our two biggest ones. You could find out our schedules for all our shows that we do there. We also got a Patreon if you want to do that. Go to comicshoplocator.com, find a comic shop near you, support your local comic shops. We're also on Facebook and Threads and Twitter and all that, but do with that what you will. That's pretty much it. This is the X-Men 97 after show. We're doing this for every single episode, but we also got Comic Talk, where we talk about just comics that came out that week. Every single Thursday, we got the Keeg Talks. We're talking about movies and TV shows and stuff like that. We got a lot of shows. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram if you want to keep up with all that stuff. And then we have the website that we're trying to push forward and create more content for at thekeegshow.com. That is pretty much it. Once again, thank you guys all for watching. Thank you guys for being part of this X-Men community, and Nikhil and Michelle for being just great guests in general. Once again, I am your host, Dimitri Pereira, and this has been the X-Men 97 After Show for Episode 5. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Super strong or super fast.